The World's Roopa Shenoy has this look back on a decade of global protests.
In 2010,
it's the first day of a new decade, and in the UK, hundreds of thousands of
there was a sense of hope.
Mayor Boris Johnson said the display showed the most exciting city on earth was looking forward to the future with optimism and energy.
But the world was also coming off the 2008 global economic collapse, and Zachariah Mompilly says there was an undercurrent of resentment. He's an international studies professor at the City University of New York.
There's a sense that there has been a tremendous increase in inequality around the world.
A few elites seem to hold all the power.
There is increasingly a lack of faith in government, that national governments in particular are no longer able to craft solutions to some of the most existential problems that we face as a species.
The frustration boils over. It starts with one person in Tunisia. Fruit vendor Mohamed Bouazizi snaps when officials try to confiscate his cart. He sets himself on fire.
His cousin used his mobile phone to start filming the protests which developed.
It becomes the Arab Spring.
Now across the square, it looks like there's a melee happening. The crowd, there's sticks flying, there's things flying in the air.
Demonstrators force the Tunisian and Egyptian presidents from power. Then the Occupy movement sweeps the globe. After that, there were too many to list. Black Lives Matter. Me Too. Civil uprising in Syria. Sudan. Chile. Global protests for action on climate change.
Globally speaking, we live in the most contentious time in recorded human history as civil resistance goes.
Erica Chenoweth at Harvard has studied every reported instance back to 1900.
This is a way that people try to get what they want when they don't feel like the normal political process is operating in ways that can accommodate their demands.
And it's had an impact.
If you look at a movement like Occupy, which many people called a failure, the truth is that the agenda that was set by Occupy, that is a focus on inequality, was taken up by basically everyone.
But governments have fought back. In Sudan, the military executed a brutal crackdown. In Kashmir,
nearly 4 million people have been confined to their homes in a total communications blackout.
India cut off the internet. Hardy Merriman is president of the International Center on Nonviolent Conflict.
We see an increasing number of movements at the same time that we see a documented decline in democracies around the world and an increase in authoritarianism.
Merriman says nonviolent civil resistance isn't as effective as it used to be.
The success rate of nonviolent movements is declining. Part of that could be because there are an increasing number of violent flanks alongside these movements.
Another part might be the changing role of the U.S.
We will seek friendship and goodwill with the nations of the world, but we do so with the understanding that it is the right of all nations to put their own interests first.
Historian and former provost of the University of Melbourne, Peter McPhee, says President Trump's withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord, the Iran nuclear deal, and the International Criminal Court have led other countries to believe they could act without facing international repercussions.
There is an assumption around the world that the great powers can act more or less as they want. And I think that's actually adding to a sense around the world that the democratic rules have been abandoned and it's a question of what you can get away with.
Protesters are adapting. Don Brancati is at the Macmillan Center for International Studies at Yale University. One of her students is Nathan Law, one of the leaders of the movement in Hong Kong. She says civil resistors there have learned how to keep a movement cohesive and how to evade the police.
In terms of sheer numbers, there's 2 million people in a single day on the streets of Hong Kong. Hong Kong's entire population is 7 million people. It's phenomenal.
And Brancati says, like other protesters earlier in the decade, those in Hong Kong haven't been deterred by a government crackdown.
Even when authoritarian regimes crack down, the protesters keep going in the streets, which is why I admire their courage and guts. And so I expect there will be protests and I expect there will be further repression. And I expect the protesters to be undaunted and to continue to go out in the streets to protest.
So this might just be the beginning. The 2020s may bring more unrest. Hopefully, though, they'll also eventually bring change and peaceful solutions to the problems we face. For The World, I'm Rupa Shenoy.